And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
This is The Athletic Baseball Show on the Athletic Podcast Network.
And that is hammered! Oh, my!
Man, that ball got out of here in a hurry. You know, anything travels that far ought to have a damn stewardess on it, don't you think?
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it?
You're listening to The Roundtable with Grant Brisby, Andy McCullough, and Mark Carrig on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 15 of The Roundtable, where we yammer about baseball. I'm Grant Brisby. I'm joined by Andy McCullough and Mark Carrig. Gentlemen, how you doing? I always start with Andy. Mark, how are you doing first?
I'm distracted, not going to lie.
Oh, okay. Is there something we should know about?
Well, I was just looking at images from the James Webb Space Telescope here on the New York Times app, which is very cool. And they're showing nebulas and exoplanets and home run balls that the 2012 Mets gave up. So that's pretty cool.
There's a big debate whether deep sea is scarier than deep space. I am of the opinion that deep space scares me more. I'll take weird anglers with lights. Deep space scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, I don't even think that's a debate. Deep space is way scarier than deep sea. Way scarier.
Andy, do you have a take on deep space versus deep sea?
Yeah, definitely deep sea, because you can get to deep sea. You can't get to deep space.
I can't get to deep sea. It'll crush me like a peanut shell, Andy.
Well, have you ever tried to go into orbit, Grant? We don't have Hunter Pence on this show. We don't have any space cadets, all right? Like, this is a different show.
I did my best in college, man. You should have been there. All right. But we are not here to talk about the James Webb Telescope. We're here to talk about Logan Webb. I don't know. That's not a good segue, but we're going to talk about... Well, no, that is a good segue, because Logan Webb...
That's a great segue.
We're talking about All-Stars, and we're talking about... snubs and opinions about snubs. We're not actually going to talk about snubs. I just like saying the word snubs. But we're going to talk about the All-Star game and just general goings on and transpirings with the All-Star game. Who wants to start? I think, I don't know. I will throw it out there. Who wants to start about All-Star game stuff?
I have a take, and I'm a little embarrassed to say this publicly because I don't want to be associated with this sort of movement. I think this All-Star game could be good. I think that the home run derby might be fun, and I think most of the players will show up, which would be a big difference from last year. So last year there was a bit of a like almost critical mass of like so many guys just bailed, you know, some for like paternity leave reasons, some for sort of like fakeish injuries, some guys just didn't want to come, like the entire Astros contingent didn't go. I think most of that was related to who wants to go to Colorado to be in the altitude for 2 days. But I think being in Los Angeles, being at Dodger Stadium, there's just more intrigue, I guess. There's more interest. And so you've got someone like Giancarlo Stanton, who's always sort of, you know, he did the Derby once, and he was like, all right, I did the Derby, you know, because it was at the Marlins Stadium. I don't like everyone comparing me to Aaron Judge. I don't really want to, you know, be like this spectacle every year, right? And he was like, well, if it's at Dodger Stadium, yeah, I might do the Derby. Like, I grew up there going to games. Like, that'll be fun. And you forget how many players are actually from Southern California, where this is like an actual, you know, dream come true. So I think that it should be fun. It'll be nice to see Pete Alonso, who it appears the good Lord put on this earth to win the home run derby, competing. It'll be great to see Dave Jouse again. I think it actually, for an event that is often quite tedious, could actually be a fun little couple days.
Dude, I'm with Andy on this. I think there's always this thread of too cool for school when it comes to the All-Star game. And we saw it a lot with Colorado. And I think Andy's theory about why that happened That makes a lot of sense. So does his theory of changing locales this year. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. It's a reminder of just how many great players there are in the sport right now. Man, there's a lot of great players in the game. I think it's wonderful. And to Pete Alonso, at that point, like, you know, when I'm talking about too cool for school, Pete Alonso with the home run derby is a total opposite, right? I think there's so many times where, like, you got to beg those guys to go in the competition. And Alonso is like, you know, he's not even hiding how disappointed he would have been not to be able to do it. Like, I feel like he was super relieved that he was in position to go. He's going to import Dave Jouse, that he's in it to win it, and like isn't afraid to just say that or act like it. And I think that's a lot of fun. So, you know, it's
to be clear, Dave Jouse no longer works for the Mets.
Exactly.
He is an employee of the Washington Nationals, and he is flying out there to pitch middle in to Pete Alonso and watch him crush dingers. It's going to be fun.
I will split the difference in that I think once they changed the home run derby format to its current format a few years ago, the derby was eminently watchable every year. It's I love the format. I love just whoever you can throw out there. I don't care if you've got pitchers out there. I don't care if you've got utility infielders out there. Like, I just love the format. But then once you've got these big dinger swatting beasts like Alonso, you know, now Stanton going out there, I love it. It's a great format. Yeah.
The Pujols, Schwarber.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Schwarber, man. It's fantastic. The All-Star game itself, I enjoy to a point, but it's never going to be what it was. I mean, obviously, I'm not just talking about the days where, like, Hank Aaron would play 15 innings and they would get really mad at each other and they took it seriously. I'm talking about the days of Bo Jackson off of Rick Russell. I'm talking about the days where you would go Fred Lynn hitting his grand slam, because back then, that was your chance to watch those players. That was the only chance you would get to watch, oh, here's Bo Jackson. I haven't seen hardly any of him. And you get to watch it. That is cool as hell. Now you get to pull up videos of Mike Trout on your toilet when you're, you know, doing stuff. So it's different. It's not that the game is worse. It's that the need for it isn't as dire. Like, back then, you needed the All-Star game to get these players together to bash heads. It's less necessary, still fun, but I'm more excited about the home run derby.
Dude, like, that's such a great point, Grant. And, you know, you and I grew up in the Bay Area. I always felt lucky as a baseball fan because we had both leagues. Back in the day when you only had TV and radio, like, over the air, and there was a couple exceptions, right? The Braves were on cable and the Cubs were on cable. But by and large, you were kind of limited of what you could see. And if you were in a city where you had one team and it was a National League team, then you're a National League person. That was that. And yeah, I remember the All-Star game being so cool in that you see all these guys on the same field, but like, I felt lucky having grown up that way. And I knew a lot of the country did not. So as you say that it does, like, I'm with you. Like, it's never going to be quite the same. And I hadn't really thought about it in the way you had until you were saying that. It makes perfect sense. Like, we just, you know, the other part of it too, is that there was a time where those leagues were actually different. Obviously the DH, and that's the most obvious difference, but also the umpires were different. The league offices were different. The style of game was different. The punishment for certain things was different. There was a curfew in one league and not the other.
The, like, baseball was different, had different signature on.
Baseball was different. And you know what? This is also back in the day where guys tended to stay put. So these guys didn't like each other. All right. Like, there's a time where the leagues, like, straight up didn't like each other. And like, and we've seen this, right? Like, you look at those All-Star game results where it was like 11 straight years, the National League didn't just win those games. It beat the crap out of the American League. And then it flipped and it goes back. And it's like, we're never going to get that again because the leagues are by and large kind of ceremonial at this point. And I feel like we're getting more and more to where it is just ceremonial difference, right? Like, to me, the leagues now they might as well just be like divisions. Okay, if the same rules, and then we're going to have like more balanced schedule. We have interleague. I mean, it's not like back in the day where these leagues actually didn't like each other, you know? And I thought that was, we're never going to get it back again. And I don't want to be like, oh, the good old days. I just think it is sort of like a difference in how that game is approached and seen. And like, I'll be interested to see if there's a way to kind of recapture some of it as the league, right, becomes singular rather than two separate ones.
I don't want you to mistake this for like misplaced nostalgia. I don't want to go back to the days where I didn't see all these players. I really enjoy just being able to pull up every single pitch that Max Scherzer has thrown and just look at all the videos until I'm like drunk on his movement and stuff like that. I just think it's like, it's hard to imagine. And it's cool that this is how it was in an abstract way, that in like 1973, you're hearing about Vida Blue. You know that Vida Blue exists. You've got a Sports Illustrated with Vida Blue on the cover. And you're just sitting there looking at it going, gosh, dang it, I want to watch Vida Blue pitch. You know, and maybe you can get a game of the week, or maybe things align, but maybe they don't. And then the All-Star game comes, and everyone you know is all about the All-Star game. Never going to get it back. There's a lot more about the modern game that I like. I just think it's cool that that existed, and I'm kind of envious of it.
Well, Grant, I mean, you could replicate that feeling if you moved to Iowa, where the entire league is blacked out.
Or Hawaii.
Move to Las Vegas, and you'll be like, I would love to see Clayton Kershaw. Who is he? They say he throws a curveball like Koufax.
Dude, what a great blog that would be. Just to, like, imagine yourself in, like, a blacked out region of the country. Right? And like everything is new to you. Aaron Justice? No, Aaron Judge? Aaron what? He did what? He plays center field and does what? Like, you know, it'd be amazing.
The Dodgers weren't on TV in LA for like 6 years. So like, it's not that impossible. I have a question for both of you that I think there's an obvious answer, at least in one of the leagues. I think there's two good answers for the other league. Who should the starting pitchers be?
It's LA guys, no?
It's Kershaw. Kershaw for me, 100%.
Right. Like, I mean, that just kind of seems perfect.
You're talking about, like, right, it lacks the, for lack of a better term, like, specialness, uniqueness of those earlier years, right? Because we've been saturated and stuff like that. So you have to sort of manufacture moments. So you have to have situations like Adam Wainwright, you know, throwing the world-famous pipe shot to Derek Jeter in 2014 in Minnesota. You know, you need to have, you know, sort of ceremonial things. And like, what, Clayton Kershaw at Dodger Stadium, I mean, it's fairly a slam dunk. I mean, it would be, you know, great for the sport if they put someone who, like, had no one ever heard of in that role. But maybe, I think, if you wanted people to watch the game, like starting Kershaw and Ohtani, or Kershaw and Verlander, you know, because Ohtani's thing, who can say, it's kind of like, he did it last year. You know, last year was the Ohtani show. I think Kershaw Verlander would be pretty cool. Kershaw Ohtani would be. But that just, to me, seems like such a slam dunk. And, like, the commissioner's office, you know, Kershaw was a commissioner's office pick. I would assume there's going to be some gentle, you know, nudging in the direction of Brian Snitker. And, like, Brian Snitker's not an idiot. Like, you know, I don't think he's going to be offending Max Fried if he doesn't start him. I think everyone here probably understands what the score is. But I guess we'll find out, like, in a couple days what the deal is.
It's an exhibition game. Okay, the roots of it were, it's a charity event. That's how they began the All-Star Game, was they're raising money. And I think we went through the now it counts phase. Okay, we're done with that.
That was awesome.
It's an exhibition game.
That was
so
awesome.
You know, go put on a show for people. People call it the show. This should be the manifestation of it, the midsummer. Just put on a show. And like, I actually love that the commissioner has that power to do that, to add these legacy picks. I find it funny, like, you know, Katie Wu broke the story yesterday about Albert Pujols being in the home run derby. And I guess I shouldn't have been, but I was a little surprised that the class of, oh my God, he's ancient, he doesn't deserve to be there. And it's just like, are you kidding? It's a freaking exhibition. Shut up. Okay, I don't care. Like, I mean, if you hit one homer this year, I wouldn't give a crap. Like, you don't want to see Albert Pujols on a stage like that, and he wants to do it. There's a nostalgia aspect of it. You're saying goodbye to this, like, legendary player. Getting me a break. Enough. You know, talking about, like, what his statistics are. It's just like, you're missing the point. It's a freaking exhibition game. It's an exhibition event. I love that the league is leaning into it.
I can maybe understand complaining about the statistics of an all-star, right? Like, if you're, whether it's like one of the commissioner's two picks and the legendary picks or whatever of Pujols and Cabrera, or you're like complaining about, you know, like Paul Blackburn, who's having a nice season but obviously is on the team because he's on the Oakland A's. I can sort of you know, if I like poison my brain a little bit, understand like being upset about that. But being upset about a guy getting a berth in the Derby. It's like, whose spot is he taking? Like, is Willie Mopeña, did he want to come? Like, if he does, bring him in, you know? If Ichiro wants to do it, like, let him do it. I don't care.
I don't know where the line is where you're talking about legacies and this guy's not just a future Hall of Famer, but he's an inner circle Hall of Famer who gets special treatment. I just know that Albert Pujols is there. I know that Miguel Cabrera is there. I know that Clayton Kershaw is there. Like, he is not just a very good pitcher on his way to the Hall of Fame, perhaps, if a few things shake his way. He's the literal best pitcher in Dodgers history. The Los Angeles Dodgers, the Brooklyn Trolley Dodgers, I mean, they go back like 300 years.
Justin Verlander, same category. Yeah,
exactly. These are not borderline cases. This isn't like Bobby Abreu where you're going like, oh, you know, I think he should be in based on the stats. These are like dudes, historical. They define a generation and era. I want to see these guys more than Joe Mantiply. No offense to Joe Mantiply, but like, I want to just say, heck yeah, that's Clayton Kershaw. Even if he's not on merits, the All-Star Game starter, having a fantastic year. Maybe Tony Gonsolin's better right now if you had to pick a pitcher to win a game. But I want to see Kershaw. I want to see Miguel Cabrera. I know he's not hitting 340 and the stuff anymore, but he's hitting 300. I don't know. I'm all on board for the legacy stuff.
Here's the deal, right? Like, so say you're working in the MLB office, or, you know, you're working on Twitter, which are the two options in life, I guess, right? And you think the idea is to grow the sport, right? Which, like, okay, sure, fine. Like, I don't care, but some people feel that way. You want people to watch Shane McClanahan. You want them to watch Tony Gonsolin. You want them to watch Sandy Alcantara. Like, you want to see those guys? You know what's a great way to get people to watch them? Have them pitch the second inning after Clayton Kershaw and Justin Verlander, okay? Get them to turn on the television. They're not going to turn on the television for players on the Rays and the Marlins. That's just, sorry, like, those teams don't sell out, whatever. Like, it is what it is. They're great players, and they should win the Cy Young Award. But, like, this is an exhibition. They're putting it on TV. Give people a reason to watch the game.
Look, you said it earlier about manufacturing moments, and I think these legacy picks are an extension of that. It is an exhibition. I give the league a lot of credit for putting this together in this way. Like, that, these legacy picks, I think, are really, really smart. And you're always going to have players kicking around like that with big names that have done some great things that are kind of, the twilight of their careers that, frankly, I think it's a cool honor just to sort of pay some respect to what they've done in the sport. And also, yes, get some people to turn on the televisions because those are big names. They're familiar. Leaning into it, I think, is really smart. And yeah, what Andy said is also true. The best way to get you to watch these other guys that you want to maybe graduate to that level one day is to get folks to put the game on to begin with. So putting the names out there and leaning into the fact that this is a straight up exhibition, I think it's really smart.
Hank Aaron made 25 All-Star games. Now there were some years in there where they had one All-Star game in the middle of the season, one at the end of the season, but just 25 All-Star games. And do you think that in every one of those seasons, even though Hank Aaron is Hank Aaron, that Hank Aaron had the best first half stats? You know, like, he was just crushing it more than every other outfielder in every first half over those couple decades. No, you know, when he's 41 and he's making the All-Star game in 1975, he's not the best player. But back then, you just sort of, you knew that's who you wanted to see. You didn't want to turn on the TV and see the player having the best first half. That's what drives me nuts about all the snub talk, is that it's, oh, this guy, look at this guy's first half stats. Man, I don't care about first half stats. Like, and with very few exceptions, I want to see a combination of performing well and having performed well in the past, more than like, I want to see like a combination. I don't want to just, oh wow, this guy's just out of nowhere. He's the best player for the first couple months. That doesn't excite me. But if you have like a good player that you know is good having a good half, that excites me. And I want to see teams reflect that a little bit more.
I do just want to say, Hank Aaron, age 35 to 39, slash line 299, 396, 601, OPS plus 168, averaged 41 homers a season and 101 RBIs. I guess that is how you hit however many home runs it was.
Holy shit.
So good.
755. Wow. good Lord.
God, monster.
Yeah, good player. Grant, I'm with you. I'm with you. There have been a few, and I don't want to both out my lack of baseball knowledge and my internet trawling, but there have been a few people who've been mentioned as snubs who I've been like, I've never heard of that player. I don't. And you look it up and it's like, oh, it's a reliever having a really nice year. And you're like, yeah, okay. Like that's great. Like pitch the second half. 30 games of relief from a guy I've never heard of. Like, no, I would like to see, you know, like, I guess Josh Hader. I don't know. Is Josh Hader an all-star? He probably should be. He's really good, right? Still? He might be hurt. Who can say? I don't want to see, you know, a guy who pitches the sixth or seventh inning, you know, for a team that's like 4 games above 500. Like, I would like to see Shohei Ohtani, I guess.
Well, you know, we're avoiding big time snub talk, but I need to quickly mention the fact that, like, literally one of the best free agent pitching signings in the last, like, couple of years, who's done nothing but produce results for his new team.
It's true. Max Scherzer year, snubbed again.
Like, how is Zach Wheeler not on the team? Like, that's a legitimate one, right? Because, like, to Andy's point, I get it. Like, it's someone who's got 30 great innings, whoop-de-doo, all right? But this guy signs a contract that the industry kind of, like, looked at sideways for a while, and all he's done is pretty much take the mound and shove. And, you know, after like a weird start to this year, he's doing it again for a team that, by the way, for all the stuff we've talked about, is like in playoff position. Like, I don't know, like, this guy Zach Wheeler has pitched really well, not just this first half, but really since he signed there. And yeah, I think if we want to, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on it because we're trying to avoid the snub talk. But like that is one where, like, I looked at it and went, that is bizarre.
The upside of the snub talk is that we get to say the word snub over and over again. Just a fantastic word. It sounds like it's defined. The Zach Wheeler stuff is, you know, the actual reason for this is that it's the one player per team rule. Do you guys still like that? Because I go both ways. I remember following teams that were so awful, and having that one guy, even if he didn't quite deserve it, was a little treat. You know, I can have an all-star as a treat. At the same time, just to bring the Warriors up for the first time on this podcast, I remember what it's like to watch the Warriors for decades and be like, oh, I hope Jason Richardson's the all-star. Oh man, I hope he's, and then like he doesn't make it, and it's, oh shucks. And it makes the all-star when you do get it more meaningful. It's like, oh, finally, like this is a defining moment. So I go both ways. Where do you guys stand on the one all-star game per team?
I love it. They should never get rid of that. You know, to your experience there, Grant, like there's more fans in that boat, right? Where your team's out of it or they're in a small market. And so there's a lot of things going against you having an all-star if you just kind of left it to be organic. And I don't know, I feel like you want to include those places too, right? Even if it's one guy. And yeah, it sounds like trite if you don't live in a place like that, if your team isn't one of those small teams or your team's really good all the time. I think that's important, man. And it's almost like it's just a symbol of like having everyone there, like every team represented. I think that adds to what's special about the exhibition, right? Is that everybody's there. It's the one time where the whole thing descends onto one spot. And I don't know. I think that would kind of suck to lose something like that.
You know, it's interesting. I was pretty, when you initially brought it up, I was like, oh, get rid of that. That rule sucks. But then I was thinking about it more. I mean, Mark made some good points for once. And also, like, if I wanted to watch, like, these teams would be overrun with representatives from certain clubs, both through fan voting and through, you know, like, whatever, dint of who has the best players. But, like, when I want to watch, like, the Dodgers and the Braves and the Yankees and the Astros, like, I just watch the playoffs. You know, like, that's what that is for. This at least like has some sort of you know, a little bit of intrigue. You know, you get maybe Joe Mantiply pitches like the seventh, like that could be fun. You know, who could have seen it coming? So yeah, I don't know. I guess my answer would be I wish there were fewer teams and they kept that rule.
Now I'm biased, okay, because my brother is a hardcore A's fan. And I swear, once a week, I get a text from him that says, hey, who's on Yes Network 2 tonight? Oh, it's the Yankees and Red Sox. He's talking about ESPN. And so I think about folks like that root for teams like that, where they're never on national television, right? And they shouldn't be because they stink, right now. The A's shouldn't be on any television at this point. They're awful, all right? But, you know, like, when we know this, right, you see the same five or six teams on the biggest stages for good reason. The All-Star game is a way to at least include some of those that are just never going to be on that stage. So, I am biased because I get that text literally once a week. But, yeah, you should think of those fans, too.
I've been professionally thinking about the All-Star game like a sucker for decades now, and my big mushy brain finally came up with an idea of how to split this hair. I think you should set the rosters the way you would. Zach Wheeler's on, Carlos Rodon's on, and then you look and you see the teams that aren't represented, and then you take one and you just have one from each of those teams. Now you have jumbo rosters, which I think is an asset to the All-Star game, and now every team's represented. Now you have those players thinking, oh, this is like Charlie Brown's Valentine with my name crossed, or, you know, the name crossed out and my name written in. Who cares? I think that's fine. You're still an All-Star. It's still a line drive in the box score, so to speak. I think that would be a way to kind of appease both sides.
Isn't that more or less what happens, just in different order?
Yeah, I think so. I really do. I think, you know, this player can't go and Bryce Harper's voted in. He's not going to be there. That's why I want to write this hot take for you know, the Giants part of my job to be, well, Carlos Rodon and Logan Webb should be in the All-Star game. They're probably going to be there. You know, like, it's this guy's going to drop out, that guy's going to drop out. I don't know.
And if they're not, like, oh, well.
Yeah, get some rest, guys.
You know, yeah, take... I mean, like, Rodon actually made a good point, and I guess this applies to Webb, too, because Webb's never been an All-Star, and Rodon was talking about, like, Dylan Cease, you know, is who he feels bad for. Like, Cease has a really good case in the American League, and he's never been. So, like, I understand it from that perspective, you know, if it's, like, it's something, you know, that, like, was, like, when I covered the Dodgers, Justin Turner plays third base, right? Well, playing third base in the National League, it's kind of tough to make an All-Star team, you know, when you had Nolan Arenado, Chris Bryant, and Anthony Rendon. But when he made it in 2017, when he was like the 45th guy or whatever, like, it meant the world to him, you know? And, like, he understood, like, hey, I might not be exactly at that level, but I'm pretty good. He was the best hitter on the best team in baseball. And, like, he gets to be an All-Star, you know? So I am more receptive to, like, that sort of snub for, like, a guy who's been a really good player for a really long time and is kind of hitting a logjam. Like, I don't particularly feel bad for, like, Freddie Freeman, who's been an All-Star however many times and is, like, just kind of pushed out for now. He's got the newspaper to deal with, too.
Jeez. So. That's not just that third rail.
Woo!
I'm a proud Los Angeles Times alum.
Do you want to get the kids involved with baseball these days? Is that one of the goals? What popular old band is still popular with the kids? Rock band from the 70s.
The Beatles.
70s. Which band are they still talking about? They made a movie about it. Oscar-winning movie. Queen. Who does Dylan Cease look like?
Brian May.
Freddie Mercury.
Okay, I've never seen Dylan Cease's face.
Oh, you haven't? Look up.
I'm gonna look it up.
Sorry, I was trying to do the wind horse, but pull up.
Maybe we can. Maybe we should redo that. I stepped all over that.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
No, you should do it. It's funny.
Well, now it's not funny. It's not spontaneous.
Yeah, and that's all right. And they should keep this so that we're not, like, fibbing to our audience. This is great.
Yeah, he does look like him. Wow.
I think this is 100 times funnier than my bit. We're keeping this. Seriously, though, I hadn't seen Dylan Cease until the White Sox played the Giants. And when he came on the screen, I was all, holy shnikes, he is a dead ringer for Freddie Mercury. And I think that's got to be intentional. Kids will eat that up. Kids love Freddie Mercury these days. All right, let's move on. All right. We're going to talk about Braves-Mets because is this, he says in scare quote, the only race that matters? I believe that one of you has that opinion. Braves-Mets, the only divisional race we're caring about? Hot take. Coming up on the round table.
Like right now? You mean, are we going? Do we have ad reads?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
It matters in that it's the only divisional race that will actively affect who's going to get a bye. You know, because if you look at the standings right now, right, it's Dodgers, Mets, Braves. Then the Padres, and the Padres are 7.5 back. You know, like, they're not totally out of the West, but, like, they have, you know, 7.5 against the team that's objectively a bit better than you is tough. But, you know, the Braves and the Mets, they play, I think, 14 more times in, like, a, you know, third. They got a 5-game stand at Citi Field next month. It's going to be just delightful. You know, so, and those are two teams who are pretty evenly matched. And the winner of that race will get a bye, which is a really significant thing because you're just, that just, you know, increases your championship win expectancy or whatever the effing thing is called now. It makes it easier to win a World Series. That's the words I'm looking for, because you don't have to play in the wild card round, right? So, like, yeah, it really is kind of the only race that has a significant effect on the postseason, I think, because, you know, if you look at the two central races, right, like, those are kind of like win or get in, but it doesn't appear that they will really affect the wild card. I guess it shifts so much, but anyway, yeah, that's my take at the very least, that this is going to be a fun summer between those two clubs.
Well, you've got stakes, which is always important, right? And those are big stakes, obviously. We've also got two really, really good ball clubs that do it differently, and you also have two clubs that have history, right? Like, we're talking Mets and Braves. Like, there, you know, there's lots of examples of those teams duking it out in the past. And I think one of the great things about baseball is that you can always find that kind of link. And in this case, it's not that hard to find. But I'm fascinated by the fact they're going to play a ton more. There are big stakes. There's great players on both teams, and they do it entirely differently because one team hits a bunch of bombs and is totally unapologetic for it, which I think is wonderful. And you got a team that probably should hit a few more, but they've made it work to this point. And I think, you know, we've talked about this with the Mets, right? Like, there's a lot of professional hitters, good at bats. Is there some luck in there? Absolutely. Is it sustainable the way they did in the first half? I'm not sure. But I think if they got a little bit more pop in there, it would help them out. Point is, like, they go about it in different ways. And both rosters are just stocked with a bunch of good baseball players. So yeah, it's hard not to watch that closely, especially with how much they've got, you know, to play each other moving forward and also the stakes involved. So, yeah, it might be the only one that matters. It's certainly the most intriguing, I think.
I will go through the middle road again and say that, Andy, your points are valid. And I'm tuned in to what you're thinking. It's like, heck yeah, I'm seeing it your way. The buy is really important. And on the other side, I hate that we're talking about a first round bye. I hate the shit out of it. I don't like talking about byes in baseball. I don't know. It's not to me. I want to see more playoff baseball from the Dodgers and Braves and Mets, not less playoff baseball. I want to see the Dodgers play. I'd love that the wild cards would bash each other in a game and then you'd have one bedraggled team limping into the LDS. I like that format. I don't like all the wild cards just going blurp and then they're getting spit out against the Dodgers who have been sitting there waiting patiently. I hate the bye. I hate it more than I think I've realized until you started talking about, because I want to care about the Cardinals and Brewers. I like both of those teams as far as they're good teams. They're flawed teams. They're teams that match up well. I like both of those teams, how they're constructed, what they can do at the deadline. I want to care about the Cardinals and Brewers more, but you're right. It's going to be a fight for the bye. What are we doing? We're talking about byes.
The expanded playoffs are a scourge. They've been a scourge, you know, since there was the 2020 was, we can rule it out because it was so messed up. But like this has been the problem from the outset, right? Is that it's going to reduce the number of meaningful games in the regular season. And so that's the trade-off, right? Is you get the TV money and you get the excitement of the wild card round, but it means August and September are just going to be less interesting because the games are just going to have less meaning. I mean, I personally think the best playoff system that has existed during my lifetime, and it was my birthday last week. Thank you, Mark, for attending and eating some pizza. Thank you, Grant, for your thoughts from while you were away. The best playoff system was when there were three division winners and one wild card. I think that while that did obviously create problems in the American League East because those were where all the good teams are. I think that generally produced the least variance and gave the best teams a chance to play playoff baseball. I understand why the wildcard game has been invented. It's been great for my career, but I still feel like it's been a net negative for the sport.
My favorite is still five postseason teams where you have three division winners and you have that wild card game where just the nuttiness of like the A's Royals game that was just perfect. That's baseball perfection to me. But now you're at a point where, look, I'm going to read the teams that are actually within four games of the AL wild card hunt. You have the Rangers, the White Sox, the Orioles, and the Guardians. Are you telling me, like, man, I get that Orioles fans have been patient, and I get that Rangers fans have been patient, but are you telling me I have to care about an Orioles-Rangers game? I don't even know if they're playing each other for the rest of the year. Am I supposed to care about an Orioles-Rangers game?
There's a lot of baseball season left, Grant.
Oh, man.
And when you play baseball games, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. And I suspect those teams will do more losing than winning in the future.
I was looking at how the Orioles are doing this, and their baseball reference page is objectively hilarious because every player on the team other than like Adley, they have 10 walks and 500 strikeouts, and every down the line, they're all striking out like 30-40%, and somehow they're making it work to almost get to 500. I respect the hell out of it. No, I'm probably not going to have to care about too many Orioles games in the future. But I don't know. But we're even talking about it halfway through the season. That's the scourge of the extra wild card spots. I don't like it. I don't like it, man. I'm old.
I'm willing to give it a shot, which is surprising. I tend to just you talked about the best version of it, man. Go back to the 8-team divisions where there was four playoff teams. But I mean, I half kid about that because I think it is important to have more playoff teams. It's just the reality of where we're at. So I don't know. I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm willing to see how it plays out. I think now the thing is, I say that it's not like they're ever going to go back. right? There's no adjustment to be made where they're like, yeah, you know what? We're going to cut down the playoff teams. This is
only
it.
Expansion.
This is
yeah.
it. Yes. So, you know, but I did like the one game aspect of it a lot more than I thought I would. I remember that was one where I'm like, this isn't baseball. This is bullshit. And then like it happened and I'm like, oh, I was wrong. This is awesome. This is great. You know, like it. So yeah, I guess I take it from that vantage point of like, I know what like the old school person in me is thinking, but at the same time, they're never going to take the spots away. Right. I think maybe the question is, do we hold it here or do you find like, do you introduce the one game aspect of it again so that you don't have that gap of time? Like, we talked about that before. Like if you know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I just know that like talking about like cutting back the playoff teams, that ain't ever happening.
I think the real, if there's going to be a shift in format, the real answer is to add two more teams. And then you have like four even divisions. And then, you don't like expansion? Come on, let's get some Montreal Voyageurs. Come on.
No.
He's so angry. You made him
have
mad.
Have you watched
Grant.
The product? Do you think there are 50 guys who can be spread out currently? Have you watched the product?
Farhan wants to claim all of them on waivers. Yes.
Jeez. Did you? Yeah.
No, hey,
they can't all be 2021.
I don't know, man. With the driveline stuff and everyone's throwing 95, 100, I could go for another 50, 52 players in Montreal and Portland. Come on. But honestly, you want to get to that platonic ideal of 32 teams because then you're 16 in each league, blah, blah, blah. I think that there's room for that. You don't want a team in Nashville, Andy?
It would be Nashville and Vegas, I think, which is great. You know, I really like Nashville and, you know, I have a gambling problem. So, like, those are both great. Steve Nesbitt and I are working on a series of stories about expansion. And I have not met many baseball people who look at the current landscape and say, yeah, this would be better if we diluted this. I mean, well, I don't know. We might get into Grant's college days if we talk about what's better when it's diluted. I don't know. They're going to expand the playoffs, right, before they expand the actual league, I would assume. And so, you know, that wouldn't happen until the next CBA? I don't even know. They kind of just make up the rules as they go along. The good thing is this. Is that there are five, I think, really, really, really good teams this year, right? I think there's a tier of five. It's the Yankees, the Astros, the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Braves. I think the Padres are, you know, they're just a tier underneath. Of those five, right, four will, as much as Grant hates it, they will get byes. And so they will probably get rewarded for, you know, spending as the Yankees and the Mets and the Dodgers did, and the building from within that the Astros and the Braves have done. So that's generally a good thing. It's more you don't want to reward teams for racing to the middle. And that's the problem if you expand it out to seven, you know, a 14-team field, is when you reward teams for racing to the middle, I think it just discourages competition. It discourages spending. It discourages aggression at the trade deadline. I mean, like we talked about this last week, you know, we're going to get, maybe it was last week, maybe it was 2 weeks ago or whatever, but we're going to see how much teams really value just getting into the tournament, because there's a lot of clubs who could get better if they, you know, decided to try and make additions. And like of the Rangers and the Guardians and the White Sox and the Orioles, I'd say the only, of those four, the team that's most likely to kind of be aggressive is the White Sox, because they have Tony La Russa as their manager and a record payroll. And the other clubs are probably either going to stamp out or sell. So what does that tell you about the value of that spot?
Yeah, if I'm a GM, first off, if I'm a GM, Pat Venditti is my closer, just because it's funny. But if I'm a GM, I think that this format makes me want to go, I'm more inclined to go all in at the deadline, just because that one game, one and done, and you're trading prospects for a rental player, and then you get in there and you run into a buzzsaw, you've got a pitcher who shuts you down for one game and then you're out. That doesn't sit well with me. I don't like my odds in a coin flip game in a wild card situation. In this format where you've got it's a best of three game series, right? Do I have that right for the wild card format?
You know, I think we talked about this last week and all agreed we didn't know, and then none of us looked it up. So
no, maybe and the next home week team we'll hosts all the higher seed hosts all three is a thing.
Did you look that up or just text Drellick?
I looked it up, and then I think I did text Drellick.
Home team hosts all three. I will still, as a GM.
Do we like that?
That's annoying. I get why they do it though. It's
you guys are
it's
making
logistics.
Me self-conscious. I gotta go check it now because like I'm terrified.
No,
I'm
it makes
wrong.
Sense because my brain's kind of you can't have travel days. You gotta right. You gotta get through.
Correct.
It. So it does. Home team hosts all
this
three.
Shit
I mean,
changes every year.
A,
so
that's something of a reward. I guess that's
it is. But it, then you're gonna get a situation where you're gonna go down to like the third tiebreaker and it's intradivision game against AL Central stuff, and that's who gets all three home games. I don't know about that.
Welcome back to the roundtable, where we talk about everything that happened in March of 2022.
Like, you bring up a point about urgency, right? Like, what this system and racing to the middle and all that. Like, is there anything about this industry that would give you the benefit of the doubt that they would like try harder? It's the opposite. I think you got a game in which people are looking for reasons not to try as hard because they don't want to part with assets, air quotes. You know what I mean? Like that. You know, that's the thinking that I feel has pervaded the sport. And that's why these discussions happen, because that race of the middle aspect is a real threat. You know, I think when you see this, like it, by and large, like if you had to bet on less urgency and more from these front offices, like I feel like less is always a pretty solid bet. You know, they're looking for reasons not to have to like expend capital, air quotes.
Prospect capital.
Yeah.
Because they're all looking forward to the day where they're like a perpetual motion machine, where they've got the prospects in place and now they're stars and they're feeding it with more prospects. That's the platonic ideal of what they're trying to do. It's just, it can only happen for like one or two, maybe three teams at a time. And so all these teams are just going to spin their wheels. So there's no urgency, but there's got to be urgency for a team like the Mariners, right? And I guess we've talked about the teams that have urgency. The White Sox, right. The
White
Mariners.
White Sox, obviously.
The yeah. Orioles. I would, man. Go all in. Get them some help.
So, okay, I'm looking at the standings. As of right now, the Mariners and the Blue Jays are tied for the sixth spot.
This is correct.
The Blue Jays came through Seattle over the weekend and did not have a nice go of it. So
the Blue Jays, like, stink, huh?
Yeah, they don't pitch.
And the Mariners have Julio Rodriguez, who is officially a dude. So maybe
a dude.
Stink is strong. But
the Jays don't pitch, and some of their guys that you would expect to have monster seasons have had good seasons. They haven't quite put it all together yet, though. And so they're an interesting case, actually, because it's like you haven't seen the best of that lineup, right? And then we're talking about them, quote unquote, stinking a little bit. And yet I don't think they've been out of playoff position all season long.
I mean, they're getting a really good year from Manoa. They're getting a really good year from the Gas Man. Rowdy Ross has filled in well. Those are the only bold names I see on this baseball reference page in the rotation. So that would lead me to believe that something has gone awry.
Yeah, they don't have the depth.
Jose Barrios has a stinky year.
Kikuchi's on the Phantom DL right now because he's been just atrocious. Barrios hasn't been quite what he'd been in Minnesota.
Right, and so, Mr. Ryu is out for the year. Yeah, that's a bit of a
And again, they don't have problem. Like this wealth of arms to fill in gaps with. And so that's what you're seeing is that, you know, like the Gas Man, as you call him, like took that ball off the leg and his status has been up in the air. And, you know, they are having a devil of a time trying to figure that out, you know, throwing innings at this problem every 5 days. And it has not gone well. And as you know, if that's what's going on with your pitching, it is impossible to look good. And their last road trip was atrocious. Boy, did they look bad. Because I caught a couple of those games and I'm like, they were supposed to be good and they kind of stink right now. And it is obvious why.
Welcome back to OK Pod Jays, where we discuss who is on the Blue Jays.
Dave Steed. Jimmy Key.
Rance Kelly
Gruber.
Rance
Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson.
Danny Ainge.
I think that's the best Ricky Henderson story, by the way, since the John Olerud one is not true. But everyone's talking about where they were when Joe Carter hit the home run and Ricky goes, I was on second base. That's the best. that's the best Ricky Henderson story.
All right. We're going to end this now because we're 47 minutes in. But before we go, I just want to point out that George Bell, Jesse Barfield, Lloyd Mosby, hell of an outfield. Hell of an outfield growing up. That was just a fantastic outfield. But this has been episode 15 of The Roundtable. We will be back next week. I think if I'm timing this right, we're going to have Home Run Derby thoughts next week. We're going to talk about the Futures game. We're going to talk about the celebrity softball game. Like, come on, you got Bryan Cranston out there. Can he play ball? Who thinks Bryan Cranston can play ball? I do.
We just got a note from our producer, Brian. Cranston can pick it.
Oh, man.
I'll believe that.
I'm just thinking about how much would have to go wrong in my life for me to have thoughts about the Futures game. I look forward to it.
I just want to add more Blue Jay names to the list. It'd be Dwayne Ward, Tom Henke, Jimmy Key.
Rondell White.
Is Cecil Espy, is that a Blue Jay? Yeah, no, he's Rangers. Come on. Give it to me. And no.
Pat Henke?
No, Judges? That was just Rangers.
No, Tom Henke, the closer with the big old glasses.
Nasty. Reed Johnson?
I'm thinking Brett Cecil. That's what I'm thinking.
Brett Cecil.
What was that other guy? Brett Lowry.
Remember that Brett Lowry? Remember that season where the first half, his defensive stats were like, he's saving 18 wins with his glove because they screwed up and they didn't account for shifts.
Have we devolved into remembering some Jays? Because Alex Rios has checked into the chat.
Hey, you know who Alex Rios played for? That's the right fielder on the 2015 Kansas City Royals. Thank you very much.
Who played next to him? Lowe.
In center field?
Lowe was on his team, wasn't it?
Yeah, it would have been Lorenzo Cain. He was a center fielder, except in late and close situations when they were ahead, Lorenzo would move to right field, and they would actually play Jerrod Dyson in center field because while Lorenzo was a better center fielder than Jerrod Dyson, he was a plus right fielder, and Dyson was still a plus center fielder. And so then you had a very difficult outfield to get a hit in with Platinum Glover, Alex Gordon in left field, Jerrod Dyson in center field, and Lorenzo Cain in right field.
I'm going to get a little bell that I can go bing for every time the Royals come up, every time the Warriors come up. Bing. Uh-huh.
Yep.
I think we need it. All right.
Play the hits. This is fun.
This has been episode 15 of the Roundtable. We will be back next week. Thank you so much for listening. See you then.